My name's Andrew Holland, and I'm a pastor at High Ridge Church, which is not too far from you guys here, right up the road in beautiful Benbrook, Texas. Not quite as pretty as Granbury, but, you know, we try. We do our best. It's a privilege to be here with you today. Pastor Mark, thank you for having me and my family here. We greatly appreciate your generosity and your hospitality to us. So thanks for having us. Thanks for having us here. This is my family that you're going to see on the screen here in just a second. Some of whom are sitting over here with me in this service today. So you guys are lucky because you got like the full Holland experience today. You got like all the family members. So this is my wife. And then my daughter Rachel and my son Isaac and my other son Ryan. He's the stinker with the beanie on that I'm holding, and you can just look at him and know something's up with him. And then, as the Sesame Street song said, one of these things is not like the other, right? You can look at this picture and know that we're an adoptive family. One of these children does not look like our biological family. Sometimes I will just walk into Walmart or the grocery store. I just like to mess with people sometimes, you know, as an adoptive dad. I think I have that right. And so I'll be standing there and someone will come up and be like, "Oh, your son is so precious. So when did you adopt him?" And I'll just look at him and be like, "I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about?" That's mean, isn't it? That's mean. But this is my son, Ethan. He is my pride and joy. I love this kid so much. And it's a privilege for us to have him in our family. If you come to the luncheon later, you're going to see Mr. Ethan, probably, maybe, yeah. Look out, all right? He's a wild man. He might steal your food off your plate and then crawl in your lap and want to play puzzles or Play-Doh or something. So that's my family. I'm with Hope Fort Worth. We're a ministry that's located here in this region, in this area. Our team is out in the lobby. You probably saw them on the way in. They've got some t-shirts and some books out there. Who wears a large that would like an awesome... You are? Come on, run on up here and get this t-shirt. This is an awesome t-shirt. It's to take up the cause. Give her a round of applause. Yeah. You didn't know people could run in church. It's like a Pentecostal moment or something. And then we're going to tell some stories today of our family and our life and some of the incredible things that God's done in our lives over the last couple of years. But my wife also has this book that she's written called I Like Storms, 22 Stories of Faith. And it's just some different stuff that God's done in our lives over the last few years and the way that he's worked things for his glory in his life. So I need a mom that's got like... Who's the most harried mom? Who's the mom that's like, I need help? Like, I got a bunch of kids. Who's got four or more kids? Give me four or more. Five?
Eight.
Eight over eight. Going once, going twice. Yeah, you win. That's eight kids. That's awesome. That's awesome. There you go, Shannon. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're a brave, brave woman. Let's just extend our hands towards her and pray for her right now. I'm just teasing. She needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, we are excited to share with you today. We're a ministry that works to mobilize churches in our area to make a difference in the lives of orphan and vulnerable children. And it's kind of interesting for me because we adopted this little guy, obviously Ethan, who's from China. We're an internationally adopted family, and yet... in the middle of our adoption process, God did something in our lives, and he turned our hearts towards the kids in our own community. And we began to learn and pray about the fact that there's children in our area right now that are in distress, children that have been abused and neglected and mistreated and abandoned, and kids that... through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants us to help these kids to find safe, loving Christian homes. That's his desire for these kids. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But in our area right now, you and I are part of a foster care region in the state of Texas called Region 3B. 3B is comprised of seven counties, including Tarrant and Hood and five others that are connected to us geographically. In our area, there's over 1,400 children right now that are in the foster care system. About 1,440 kids, roughly, that are in foster care at this time that have had for many of them, their experience has been very, some of them have had good experiences in foster families, some not so good. Some of them have come from abuse and neglect and trauma and mistreatment and abandonment, and they need the help of a family, and they need a local church, not just a single family, but families that are in local churches that will come alongside of them and care for them and help them through life and help them to succeed and excel and have all the good things that God wants for them. There's about 1,440 kids in foster care. Out of that 1,440 children, there are 340 children right now that are waiting to be adopted. And these children, in many cases, their biological family, they were removed from their family, and at some point during their time in foster care, their parents' rights were terminated. And now the children are available for adoption. They're waiting for adoption. Many of these children, and some of you know families that have fostered kids from this group. Some of you know the adopted kids from this group. Many of these kids that have been removed from their families and the parents' rights have been terminated. They're older kids. They're kids with special needs sometimes. And oftentimes sibling groups. Groups of children that come from one family that need a safe and loving home to live in. That's their need. Historically, unless we as the church intervene and begin to bring these children into the families and homes of our churches, and unless we begin to provide the kind of services in our local communities that help to keep families intact, to prevent this from happening, and help to minister to foster and adoptive families that are caring for these kids, historically, half of these children will end up aging out of the foster care system at the age of 18. And if they don't have a consistent adult presence in their life, there is a high likelihood that those kids end up in a bad situation, oftentimes in homelessness or in the prison system, and sometimes even trafficked. And that's, unfortunately, that's the sad reality. I wish I had better news for you, but statistically, it shows us that about 80% of those kids end up in a bad place when they don't have a family that's there caring for them. But, everybody say but. All it takes is one adult presence that consistently loves a child to make a difference in their life. That's it. It takes one adult that's going to look a child in the eye and say, I'm here for you and I'm not going anywhere. No matter how crazy the behavior, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter emotionally what's going on, I am here for you. You're mine. We're together in on this. So God has called us, Hope Fort Worth, to be a bridge from the orphan to the church. The ministry that God's given us is to equip you to do what God's called you to do in caring for orphan and vulnerable children. Our desire is to give hope through the local church to kids in our community as each church embraces God's call to care for the weak and vulnerable. 2011, I was sitting in my home church right up the road here at High Ridge. And for the very first time, I was in a service as an adult where someone stood up and said to the members of the congregation, Church, there are kids in our community that need your help. And not only should you consider caring for these kids in the general sense, but you should consider bringing these children into your homes and giving them care and fostering them, adopting them. You should consider bringing these kids. It's part of who we are as believers. It's part of God's call on our life. I'd never heard that before. I'd never been in a church service where that had been preached on before. And I grew up in church. I've been in church my whole life. I was born saved. Anybody else born saved? I'm just joking. We're not like Catholic. There's no sprinkling of babies or anything like that going on. I'm just saying, I mean, I've been in church that long, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, Bible study. I mean, you name it. I lived at the church, and never once had I heard somebody get up in a pulpit and say, hey, church, you have a responsibility to care for the kids in your community. This is who we are as believers. The following year, a friend of mine approached me and asked me to go on a missions trip with him. And I like missions trips. And he came up and said, hey, I need you to go with me to Ethiopia. I said, all right, are you paying? And he said, yes. And I said, all right, I'm in. I'll go. If you're buying, then I'm going. I like missions and I like trips and I like free trips. So the answer is yes. And I said, where are we going and what are we doing? He said, well, I need you to come with me to Ethiopia. I've got a group of 500 pastors there, and we're doing a conference for them to teach them about orphan care and the theology of adoption, I want you to come preach to these pastors to help them learn how to take care of the kids in their own community and adopt the kids in Ethiopia in Ethiopian homes. And I was like, well, that's really cool, but I think you've got the wrong dude. Like, I don't know anything about that stuff. Like, that's nice and all, but, you know, good luck with that. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. You're a Bible teacher, right? Like, you preach and teach the Word of God. And I was like, yes. He said, well, orphan care is in the Bible, so you can go figure it out. So I ate my own humble pie and just kind of bowed my head and said, yes, sir. And that's exactly what I did. I went and opened up the Scripture and started discovering all the places throughout the Bible where it tells us how God cares about the weak and vulnerable in our society, how God cares for those who are marginalized, how God cares for the orphan and the widow and the foreigner residing among you. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at three things that I learned as I was studying the Word of God, three things from God's Word about caring for orphans and vulnerable children. And here's the first one. God cares about orphans. Kind of revolutionary, isn't it? It's very simple. God cares about them. He talks about this subject all throughout the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10:18 says he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. God gave very specific instructions throughout the Old Testament on how we were to care for those whose families couldn't care for them. What our role was to play. He provided food, clothing. He made sure that when the Israelites would go out and harvest their fields, that there was a portion that was left aside for those that didn't have their own fields. So we get the term the fields of the fatherless from. And that's what God did. He would set up all these structures in their society. In fact, there's one verse that I really like, I find quite funny, where God gives them this very harsh, strict command. And he says, don't make sure that you get justice for these guys. Make sure that you don't hurt them, that you don't unjustly treat the orphan and the widow and the foreigner, because if you do, you're going to be cursed. And the next scripture says, and all the people said, amen. They amen their own curse. That's weird. I hope you guys don't do that here. Pastor Mark's going to get up and say, if you don't do this, you'll be cursed. And you're like, amen. Amen. No, I'm not going to do that. Shoot. What did I just do? God cares about orphans. Not only does God care about them in the general sense, but God loves to see orphans in families. His desire for them is to have a home. Psalm 68:5-6 says this, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the lonely, where? In an orphanage? In a group home? In an institution? In a hospital? Now, God's best is for those that don't have families to find families. God's best is for them to have a home. Now, there's times when for various reasons, the best thing that we can do is to put a child in a group home, or the best thing we can do is get them treatment in a residential treatment facility. At that time, that's what they need. But God's best for these kids is that they find a family and that they find a home. That's His desire for our kids in our community. God loves to do that. Think about it for a second. God didn't just save you from your sins. God didn't just rescue you out of hell and out of darkness into light. If he had just done that, it would have been amazing. But God didn't stop there, did he? In fact, the Bible tells us that God gave us a family, that he adopted us, that he brought us into his family, and he gave us sonship through him. That's what Ephesians 1:4-5 says. And it actually tells us, gives us a glimpse here into the very first idea of God's in the entire Bible. Before God did anything else, before creation, before the Old Testament, before the New Testament, before the book of Acts, before any of it, here's what it tells us. It says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. The very first thing, when we start talking about caring for the weak and vulnerable and the theology of orphan care and adoption, we're not talking about part of or just a little taste of the Bible. This is a thread that's woven through the entirety of Scripture. Because here's the reality, it's your story too. Everybody in here, before God, you were an orphan. You were separated from God. You were alone. You were without hope. But God, come on somebody. But God, in His great mercy, brought us near through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But God adopted us and brought us into His family and called us His sons and daughters and gave us full legal rights and brought us near. And He said, no longer is that your name. I'm giving you a new name and a new identity and a new purpose. I'm bringing you into my family and I'm changing the trajectory and the course of your life by doing so. When we talk about caring for these kids, we're not talking about just something nice that we do. We're talking about being who God created us to be because it's who God is. It's exactly who He is. It's exactly what He's done for us. This is why we do what we do. This is why we take care of kids that have been through what they've been through. So God loves to see orphans and families. And also, James 1:27 tells us that God commands all of us. Somebody say all. Some of you are sitting here right now and you're like, I am not adopting any kids. Thank you very much. Don't worry, we've got a few right here behind the curtain after the service. We're going to hand them out. No, it doesn't work that way. You're not walking out of here with any kids. Some of you are like, listen, I've done that. I got grandkids. I got great grandkids. I've got more kids than I can count. I don't need any more kids. No, listen, I hear you. And we're not saying that everybody should foster and adopt. We're actually saying, okay, who is God leading towards foster care and adoption? But for the rest of us that are in this room today, God has a role for all of us to play. Because the families that choose to open their home to children that are not biologically yours, they could use your help. Grandparents, they need you to be adoptive grandparents to these families. Angela and I, a number of years ago, as we on our journey, there was a family in our church. Their names are Lance and Marcia. And Lance and Marcia came up to us. I don't know how long ago, babe, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, somewhere in our journey. And they just basically came up to us and said, by the way, you're stuck with us. We're your kids' new adoptive grandparents. And they came to us when we needed help. And Marcia, we have two kids that have some degree of special needs. And Marcia would go with my wife every time to go to the doctor's office when she had doctor's appointments with the boys and I had to work. And just sit with her. This last weekend, we had a couple baseball games and lots of craziness going on, and I was the coach of one of the teams, and Marcia just came along just to help because our two little boys are crazy. I mean, literally. There's something wrong with them. I'm going to get them tested next week. And they were running all over the place like madmen, and she was just there to kind of help, you know? And Lance comes to the house and fixes stuff for us because I'm good with the words, but not so much with the hands. You know what I mean? Like I break stuff when I try to fix it. I re-break it or I break it worse. And so Angela's like, you're not allowed to fix anything anymore. I'm calling Grandpa Lance. He's going to come fix it for us. So they just came alongside and loved us and said, whatever you need, we're here to help so that you can focus on caring for the kids that God's brought into your care. Church, some of you need to take up that mission today. Some of you, as we talk today and as you come to the meeting later, God is laying it on your heart to get involved in the field of caring for orphan and vulnerable children, not because He wants you to bring these kids in your home, but He wants you to serve the families in your church and the families in your community that do so. God commands all of us to care for orphans. James 1:27 tells us this, pure and undefiled religion before God our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That word religion is not a bad word. It kind of gets a bad rap in our society today, you know. We think of like dead religion or false religion or bad religion or just maybe weird religion. I don't know. But it's not bad. It's not a bad word. It just simply means the way that we walk out our faith. It's the practice of our faith. And what the writer is saying here is if you have been saved by God and you are in the process of being discipled and sanctified by Him, then the result of that is that in you as a group of people, you keep yourself pure from the world and you care for the weak and vulnerable. And I think one of the things that's happened to us as a church is we focus really a whole lot on keeping ourselves unstained from the world sometimes while neglecting to care for the weak and vulnerable. And it's not an either or, it's both and. But here's the challenge, okay? Here's the problem. What does it say here? It says to visit orphans and widows in where? In their... You know what the hard thing about distress is? It's very distressing. It's not easy. It is messy. It's not candy canes and unicorns and unicorn frappuccino whatever thing from Starbucks with 1,600 grams of sugar in it, right? Yeah, that thing's gross. And so it's not that. It's not sickly sweet. It's not all smiles and sunshine. When you begin to get involved in the lives of children that have been through abuse and neglect and abandonment, it's distressing. It's messy. The families in your community, we have 78 kids right now that are in foster care in Hood County. Most of those kids are not in Hood County. They've been sent to another county because we don't have enough foster families here. But for most of us, we don't want to look at the mess and distress because it's just too messy. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm grateful for, and I hope you are too. I hope you're grateful for this. That Jesus didn't look at your life and say, that's too messy. Jesus looked at my life. I'm a mess. I make mistakes all the time. Jesus looked at my life and said, yeah, that's messy, but I'm going to get involved in that. I'm going to get in that distress and that mess. I want you to watch a video real quick of a boy named Andrew. He's 12 years old. That's been through some distress in his family. He's been in the foster care system for a few years. And this is just him expressing a little bit of his own life and his stories and some of the things that he feels about. Check out this video real quick.
A perfect day for me is not much work and a lot of fun. Something that is fun for me is to draw because it helps me with my feelings. I would rather have lots of brothers and sisters because I rather have people to take up for me in a family. My biggest hope is to be the person that will always be there for people that need stuff that you have and they don't. A perfect family for me would be a young family with at least one or two siblings that are older or younger. My biggest fear is having friends that you don't know will go to heaven or not. Because you don't know what their religion is. My name is Andrew and I'm 12 years old. I would love to have a forever family.
Second story, it's our mission in life right now to see those 170 kids that would normally age out of care to find good Christian loving families so that they don't end up transitioning out of foster care and into a life that's devoid of hope. For these children, God has called us to get involved in their lives, and it's my desire, I have just this burning, passionate desire to see every county and every community in Texas transformed as we, the church, embrace the distress that's in our own backyard. We cannot ignore it anymore, and there's some things that need to happen for us to move forward, and these are some things I want to share with you before we close today. Four things that God did in my life, and there are four things that I believe He wants to do in your life, and in the life of your church, if you'll allow Him. This is what God wants to do. Have you ever had this happen before? Have you ever learned something here in your head, but it's taken a while to get down here to your heart? Anybody know that's kind of like the farthest distance in your body sometimes is the distance between your brain and your heart? That's how it was for me when Angela and I went to Ethiopia. We came back from that trip, and she was convinced that we were going to adopt. She was positive that we were going to adopt, and I was not so positive. I was not so certain about that that thing happening. In fact, she said, "I think we're really supposed to adopt." And I said, "Well, you know, maybe someday." And I just kind of blew her off. And a week after we got home from Ethiopia, we ended up in the hospital with my then 2-year-old son, Ryan, and he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Which, if you don't know, type 1 is a lifelong illness outside of a miracle taking place. There, where you have to check your blood sugars and keep them alive and just all these different things. It's a challenging thing to live with. And we were there in the hospital that night, and she was praying and I was praying, and she came over to me during that time, and Ryan had already fallen asleep, and she looked at me and she said, "Hey, so I was just praying and I really felt like God was saying, we're still supposed to adopt." And I looked at her and I said, that's great, Angela. Thank you so much. And I said, "Hey, babe, one crisis at a time, okay?" You know? And I literally laughed at her. You know the story of Abraham and Sarah, where God's talking to Abraham, and you're going to have children in the sand of the sea and all this different stuff. And there's Sarah over in the tent laughing. I was Sarah, all right? I'm over there laughing in the tent, like, "Yeah, right, thanks a lot, Ange. Focus on the child that's sick." Well, a year later to the day, we were in a church service just like this, and God spoke. But for me, there were some things that had to happen. And the first one was this: I had to see the need. And I don't mean to see it with the physical eyes, though I did that when I was in Ethiopia. I mean for God to open the eyes of our heart so that we spiritually understand what we're dealing with the children that need help in our community. One of my prayers for you today is that through the preaching of the word and through me sharing these stories with you, that God will begin the process of opening your eyes to the need of children that are right here in your own backyard. And that spiritually, you'll be able to grasp the weight and the depth and the breadth of this issue and be able to respond to it. So we have to see the need. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Here's the thing. We are very prone in our culture today to respond to problems with sympathy. And sympathy and compassion are not the same thing. Here's what sympathy does. You're hurting, you're broken, something's wrong. Someone comes up to you and says, "Oh, you poor baby." Pats you on the head. "That's too bad. Hope it gets better." That's sympathy. But compassion acts. Compassion does. Compassion gets down on that level of where that child is at and puts their arm around the child and says, "I am so sorry that you're hurting. I wish it wasn't the case, but it is. And I'll tell you what, buddy, we're going to walk through this together. I'm here. I got you. Let's go do this." Compassion does. We have to see the need. We have to respond with compassion. And in our journey, as we got back from Ethiopia and all of this happened, and Angela's certain that we're going to adopt, and I'm like, "I don't think so. I don't want to do that." There was something else that was going on inside of me. Not only did I need to see the need, but God had to do some work in my life. He had to do what I call spiritual surgery. Has God ever had to cut you apart? Anybody ever had that happen to them before? Where God's had to work in your life and dig out some stuff? Y'all never had that? Y'all are perfect? That's the first perfect church I ever met, Pastor. It's awesome. It's cool. I did. I had a lot of problems. And I had a lot of insecurities and a lot of selfishness. And I was scared. I was like, "I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle raising an adopted child. Can I love an adopted child like my own?" My other fear is, how am I going to pay for this? What if the child isn't healthy? Or just my selfishness? Because here's the reality. I did not want the hassle of having more kids. I had 3. I thought I was good. Because here's the deal. It's not like Angela and I were sitting around our house looking at each other and saying, "You know what would make life easier right now?" I mean, we aren't very busy. We don't have enough bills. We have more money than we know what to do with. We got too much time on our hands and our house is too big. No, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. God stirred something in our hearts and we just simply were obedient to respond, and we had to do, after God had worked on us, what God always asks us to do when he's speaking to us, and that's surrender to the call. We have to listen and obey and surrender and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God spoke for us. He led us to this point. We were sitting in a service a year to the day after we were in the hospital with our son, and the Lord says, I want you to step into this now. And we said, yes. But after we surrendered, we had to do the next thing that God always asks us to do after we surrender, and that's take a step of faith. Once we surrendered, I had to take the next step and the next and the next and the next, one at a time, day by day. And here's the thing. You know what the hardest step was for me in this whole journey? The hardest step. I had to tell my wife. By far the hardest. We got in the car after that service, and I already knew. She told me a year ago, and to her credit, she never brought it up again. She just prayed. That's a good wife right there. Come on, somebody. You need that. Some of that, all the guys should be going, amen, that's right, you don't need to be. Yeah. So, she didn't bring it up. We got in the car, we prayed. And I went to turn to her to say, I think we're supposed to adopt. And it was like, I think, yeah, you know. I knew the second I said those words, it was over, right? It was going to happen. And there was no turning back. If I said, I think it was, we'd be signing paperwork the next day. And I was going to say something really weak and whiny and kind of wishy-washy. I meant to turn to her and say, like, well, I don't know, maybe we should adopt. But here's the deal. The Holy Spirit was working on my heart in that moment. And I just knew. I knew I had to say yes. I didn't have any other choice. And I just turned to her and said, hey, we have to do this and we have to do it now. And she was like, finally. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She was sweet. And she started crying. She said, yeah, we do. We had to take the next step. The next step for us was going to a luncheon just like the one that we're about to have here in about 25 minutes, I think. 25 minutes from now, we're going to have a luncheon. Just to learn more information, we had to go and learn about the difference between foster care and adoption. We had to learn what it meant to support families and how we could do that. For those of you that are here today that God's leading you into serving in this ministry and supporting, we'd love to have you at the luncheon. It's not just for families that want to foster and adopt. You're going to learn all about what it means, the starting point for caring for these kids and for starting a ministry in your local church that can come alongside these families and provide love and support that they need. And we had to take the next step and the next step and the next step along that journey, one step at a time, day by day. And those steps led us to this little guy right here, Ethan Jeffrey Holland. My son. He looks different than me, but he's no different than my other sons. He's still my son. He's still a Holland. He still acts like a Holland sometimes. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What does that next step look like for you and your family? Where's God leading you to take the next step? I want to close with an encouragement for you today. It's simply this. You, Lakeside Baptist Church, you as an individual sitting in this chair, you have what it takes to do this. You have what it takes to care for the kids in your community. There's a lot of complexity in the world of foster care and adoption. I'm not trying to make light of that. And I'm not saying that the needs of the children aren't more complex than this. But at the most basic level, what our kids in our community need is they need three things. They need love, they need Christ, and they need family. And guess what? You have that to give. You have that to offer. Is there going to be sacrifices? Yes. Are you going to have to get some additional training? Yes. Are you going to learn stuff that you never thought you would need to know about? Yeah. But at its very core, our kids need love, and they need Christ, and they need family. And church, look here, you have that to give. And the 78 kids in Hood County, they need that, they deserve that, and it's our responsibility to give that to them. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. pause for a moment, because I just feel like this is kind of a holy moment before the Lord, and that there's some of you that are here that right now the Holy Spirit is really drawing you. He's really tugging on your heart. And I just want to give a moment for the Holy Spirit to do that work in your heart. Lord, I thank you for every family that's represented here today. Thank you for every child that's represented here today, Lord. For even the children that have been brought into homes of this church and homes of these families that are here today already through foster care and adoption. Lord, would you bless them? Would your grace and your peace and your mercy be upon them? Would you surround them with your love and your goodness and your light and your compassion? Would you walk with them all the days of their life, and would they walk with you? Lord, I thank you for every family that's going to step into new waters and new territory here as they choose to foster and adopt today. I thank you for the families that are going to come along and support them. And Lord, I ask that you would guide them and lead them in all truth, that you would propel them forward in the good things that you have for them, and that you'd protect them. And mostly, Lord, we pray for the 78 kids that are in foster care right now from Hood County that have been removed from homes. We ask that you would be with them, Lord, right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. Protect them, guide them, save them, redeem their lives. Help them in any way that you can, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. Bring them into good homes. And help us as the church to do what you've called us to do, to care for the kids that are in our community. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.